You're listening to The Last Word on Hockey with Jim Behringer, Coach Jay, and Mark Weiss on Northeast Streaming Sports.
Everybody, welcome to the Last Word on Hockey show here on Mad Radio Network. This is season 3, episode 7. I'm your host, Jim Behringer, along with Mark Weitz. Coach Jay will be on along in a moment or moments. We'll see. Hopefully he'll be on tonight. We definitely missed him last week. But Mark, welcome back to another show before the Thanksgiving holiday and Hanukkah and all the holiday season getting started.
Yeah, it's when hockey really starts to heat up a little bit, because we've already seen a month and change of hockey. And now we're starting to see, you know, what we got out there, who's real and, you know, who's really good and really bad. And so, yeah, it's an exciting time and glad to see it's the league is off on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time for sure. No doubt. One of my favorite times of the year. You know, we don't get the games on Thanksgiving, but we get the games after Thanksgiving, and that Friday slate of games is going to be very packed. It's going to be a lot of afternoon hockey that day into the night. So it's going to be a good slate of games on that day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's going to be very, very exciting hockey. But I think we have to turn our attention to the most exciting thing in hockey tonight, which hands down has to be the opening of the UBS Arena out in Elmont, New York. The Islanders finally have their new home and they stop being road warriors.
Yeah, it is. It's the first night in UBS Arena, the home opener. It's, you know, so exciting for the Islanders finally. It's a shame they couldn't have it ready for when the season actually started because they had to play so many road games. But you know what? They got through it. Probably didn't finish as well as they wanted to finish on the road. Didn't look that strong, but they have some days off. And the thing is, though, they're playing a red-hot Calgary Flames team that's coming in. I don't know if this is the team you really want to be opening your arena with. And not only the Islanders struggling, now they're dealing with COVID. You know, you got big players out. Anders Lee's on the list. So yep. It's not ideal when you start the new arena. But from pictures I've seen, looks really beautiful. Great arena. They have one of the exits that's pointed towards Belmont Park is named Belmont is the exit. So that's cool. I'm looking forward to getting there and seeing that arena. But it definitely is different. It's a state-of-the-art. You know, I'd like the old Nassau Coliseum. I'd like those old building flares because of, you know, you get some – it's yours, and it's not cookie-cutter like all the new buildings are. And – you don't lose whatever you had in that old building.
Yeah, the old building has a lot of mystique and aura for the Islander franchise, no question about it. Loud fans, especially when they went back to the reconditioned building, which went down to like 12,000 seats. That place, it's amazing. That place was louder with 12,000 seats than it was when it was like up to 18,000. The acoustics were great. The location was great. I mean, let's face it, tailgating was a big thing for Islander fans, and now I hear that in the parking lot, it says no tailgating out in Elmont/Belmont. But I think that'll change because you're not going to keep Islander fans not from tailgating. Of course, we'll all miss going to Marriott, you know, before and after games, because that was a great hangout place too. But, you know, it's a new home. It's state-of-the-art. Long Island Road already built a station for them to, you know, get people in and out through public transportation. So all in all, the Islanders have to be ecstatic about getting there. You know, I mean, this has been a long time coming. I mean, even back to when Charles Wang owned the team and they were trying to build something over by Roosevelt Raceway, and just through Nassau County's, you know, let's just say machinations, it was tough to get a location and build anything. And it's finally, the day's done. I mean, this was a franchise that was rumored to go at one point to Houston or Kansas City or Quebec. And you know what? It's their home where they belong, and they're going to be here for at least another 30 to 50 years. So they're not moving in my lifetime.
And look, you know, we criticize Commissioner Gary Bettman a lot for keeping Arizona in Arizona as long as he did. But you know what? He did his job keeping the Islanders in New York where they belong. This team would not be the same if they were anyplace else. The Islanders belong to the people of Long Island, and that's where they need to be. They shouldn't have relocated. They didn't need to. And like I said, you know, they got a good squad. Let's see if what happens. Looks like Coach Jay is finally here. Bring him in.
Coach!
Right. Hey,
Coach is here. What's up?
What's going on, man? Sorry I couldn't. I'm a stupid here. Wait a minute. Let me get my talk set here. Come on. It's the first time on this one. I was good the first time I got on. You couldn't expect me to be good all the time.
No.
No, thank you. I needed that. Am I good here?
You're good.
All right, I'm good.
So we're just talking about. So we're just talking about the Islanders' new building. They're coming in tonight. It opens UBS Arena. Dealing with some issues, but you know it's a good place to have. You could finally be home. You know, for a team like that.
Good 13 game runs. Listen, no team wanted to start on the road even for 3 games. They did 13. They must be so psyched. Forget about this. No coach needs to make a – you must be so psyched after 13 games. Now it's our time. Now everyone comes in our new building. Forget about it. Come on.
Now they got to make it a tough place to play in.
They do. They have to turn – what the old Nassau Coliseum was called Fort Never Lose. They got to turn this into Fort Never Lose as well because – but like I said, they're coming in. It's a red-hot Calgary Flames team. Johnny Gaudreau's playing well. Jacob Markstrom has already, got 6 shutouts already in 17 games, something like that.
Two versus the Rangers.
Like, this guy is unbelievable. Andrew Mangiapane is playing really well. The Flames are playing – like, we talked about this and on another episode, but we can do it again. This team is bought into what Daryl Sutter has been talking about for months, and he has got this team playing with this identity – and they are playing so well right now. I know they're beating up on a lot of teams, but that's what they need to do, especially atop the Pacific.
Well, you know what? They bit the bullet last year by making the coaching change mid-season, and I think it hurt them, I honestly do, with a chance to make the playoffs, but they weren't going to win. And now they got a full training camp under Sutter. They're playing his system. He's got his guys. You know, they also lost their captain. It doesn't look like they're missing a beat with that in itself because Giordano moved over to Seattle, and I mean, no knock on the guy, but it doesn't look like they're missing him in that locker room, to be quite frank. And I think this is a true contender. No question. We're looking at a battle of Alberta this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Markstrom is ridiculous. I mean, just in that, I mean, it's so fitting that whole team chemistry is, I mean, you got Lucic, who's found a home with Tkachuk playing Sutter's system. And you get the freewheeling, you know, Johnny Hockey and all those speedsters allowed to play game, you know?
Yeah, they're playing their game finally. Mangiapane's playing a big role in that. Their defense is looking good. Markstrom's the guy they signed. And I like what the Flames are doing. Like you said, Battle of Alberta's raging. But there's another team in the Pacific we talked about last week. Coach Jay wasn't here for this. We talked about the Anaheim Ducks, and we got to talk about the Ducks again because this team is playing unbelievable. Yes, their 7-game winning streak came to an end, but Troy Terry, 16-game point streak. The Ducks are for real people. John Gibson is turning back the clock. I mean, he's always been stellar since he's come in for this team. But now him, Terry, Zegras, you got Adam Henrique playing really well. Ryan
Getzlaf.
Ryan Getzlaf leads the team in assists. 1,000 points. Past Timo Kalani for all-time Duck points. This guy is unbelievable. He's a great player. I like what he's doing. The kids are rejuvenating him. And you know what? There's a reason why John Gibson doesn't want to get traded because he wants to win with this team.
Yeah, he's put up with this kind of rebuild for the last 2-3 years. To know he has this team is gelling in front of him. He's made his name with this team since he's come into the league. I mean, he's why would you not want to bear the fruit for the labor that you put in backing this team during the rebuild to now come out of it? And we'll get into the who's the U.S. goalie segment, but he's definitely there this year. No doubt.
For sure. For sure he is. But, you know, we got a lot of good feedback from our doc sites last week, in regards to everything. And I want to just keep pounding at home about the Anaheim Ducks. I think they're playing really good hockey, especially on home ice. I think this was one of their first losses on home ice in a while. Carolina is a good team, and that's another team I want to talk about tonight is the Hurricanes, the way they're playing. They're a good team as well. But sticking with the Ducks, I just like that group. You talked about Jamie Drysdale as well on the back end.
I love Mark. Jamie Drysdale. And man crush.
Yeah, and he's brought a different element with that defense. So they may be able to move a piece around here and there. But like you said, it starts with goaltending with Gibson. But now you got Zegras, you got Terry, you got Henry. You got all those guys playing the right way.
Well, it took a while for Terry to start to mature and score because he's a 24-year-old player. But you know what? It looks like he's turned the corner, and playing with Mr. Getzlaf is making him better. So that's a really, really good thing. And I like that you gave a shout out to all those Duck sites, because let me tell you something. We talk about like the 06 teams or the quote unquote popular franchises, but there's a ton of Duck sites out there on Facebook pages. And this is a really, really dedicated fan base that I think just doesn't get the credit that other fan bases do. Maybe they're just not as vocal as, let's say, Toronto or the Habs fan base or the Rangers fan base or the Islanders fan base, but those people got it going and they know their hockey.
The chemistry on this team is really gelling with the vets and all the free agents that are playing for their futures too. Lindholm, you know, on the back end, you got these guys that have gone through the good times and the bad times together. The team's pretty good to their team. I mean, they're pretty they used to say about the Philadelphia Phillies being, you know, too loyal to their teammate, you know, to their without getting rid of them, and they got old. These guys have gotten together, and now they're, you know, on the upside of their team, coming out of the rebuild together. Just the way they had their success together, and they're finding that youth, like you said, that speed and that youth is the chemistry is, and Gibson has to be loving it back there now.
Well, the key thing about a rebuild is you got to keep some veterans around. To number one, especially if the team has a winning tradition, to pass the tradition along and also teach the young guys professionalism. A lot of these rebuilds take forever because they lose all the veterans and there's no one to steward them from one to the next, from one spot to the next. And I think having Getzlaf wearing that C for a long time has really been a big key to this team turning the corner and being a contender. Maybe not an elite contender, but certainly their name is in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Agree. And you got to give credit to Dallas Eakins. You know, he didn't really get a fair shake at Edmonton. He's doing it.
No.
He's doing the thing here with Anaheim. He does it. He gets through goes through the right channel, AHL, now up with Anaheim. And you talk about Terry, 24 years old. You know, a lot of guys sometimes get written off because 24, maybe they're not developed enough. But you know what? This kid is really doing really good. Maybe threw his name in the hat for Team USA if they go to the Olympics. Because of his shootout specialty, especially what we saw in the World Juniors when Team USA won the gold medal. So a lot of good things going on with the Anaheim Ducks. Like I said before, the team that beat them at home the other night, snapped the winning streak, Carolina Hurricanes. That's a team I really like what they're doing there. Freddie Anderson looks like a Vezina Trophy winner, probably going to be nominated this year. That team takes on the identity of their coach, which is Rod Brendamore. It doesn't matter who is there. You know, they get rid of – I think it was Bill Lindsay on NHL Network, or it could have been Brian Lawton. You know, they were talking about salary cap, and you lose a Dougie Hamilton, but you bring a guy like Tony D'Angelo in, and you bring another guy in similar, you know, on cheaper contract, but you get two guys that replace one. And, you know, for all the slack that Tony D got last year because of Twitter and all that stuff – he's proven people that this guy, he can still play on the ice, and he probably should have gotten a deal somewhere last year.
But Jimmy, Tony D's only 25 years old. It's like we're talking – like everyone talks about him as if like this is some 31, 32-year-old guy who's some veteran who's turning back the clock, who should have known better. But really, this is a guy who's ascending to really being a great offensive defenseman. He's averaging almost a point a game, which for a defenseman in today's NHL is amazing. His plus minus is plus 13. So throw out the window all the detractors that he can't play any defense. If your plus minus is 13, this with only a month and change into the season, you must be doing something pretty darn good.
he could play. He was putting, look what he was doing on the ice with the Rangers. He just couldn't stay off of Twitter. And everyone has an opinion. Stay the hell off of Twitter. Just play your game on the ice. You have a one-year deal to prove yourself, and he's doing it with a great team in Carolina, and Brendan Moore is not going to let him.
No, you know, but for all the naysayers, he's not a good teammate. From what I've been reading in Carolina, he's been nothing but a great teammate on and off the ice. And you know what? Again, well, that could be to the side, but you know what? I like what he's bringing to that game. I like what that entire team is doing up and down the lineup. Doesn't matter. Each night's a different guy, but you know what? Aho and Teravainen and Svechnikov leading the way. I just like what Carolina's doing. They're atop the division. Anderson's playing really well. Mm. Like we said, Brendan Moore's not going to take anything from anybody, and he fought to keep his coaches there. They get him paid. He gets paid, and now Hurricanes are looking like a team that everybody expected to be atop the division.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that the Islanders were road warriors for 13 games, starting off 5-6. That really helps Carolina really solidify that number one spot in the division. And now they're playing with house money.
They are. Yeah. They are playing with house money, for sure. And, you know, that speaking of the division, you know, the Rangers are playing well. Washington's a team that's playing better than I expected them to do it this year. Ovechkin's carrying that team. Kuznetsov's carrying that team. The goaltending could be a little bit better. But, you know, again, that division is so tight. And, you know, even the Devils are up there. You know, speaking of, you know, I want to get your guys' thoughts. I know we talked about in the parking lot a little bit on Tuesday in Monroe in regards to the incident and PK Subban with Sammy Blay, and it's a shame he's going to be out for the rest of the year. You know, the more I look at it, the more, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, seen the angles a bunch of times. You know, this one's more accidental than others, but if you go back watching his throughout his career, you know, Subban has that wide base that he goes into the corner with. And obviously the early ones he should have been suspended for. But, you know, this one's totally accidental, and the accidental one is the one that the guy gets injured on. It's a shame that happened.
He's built himself a not-so-good reputation with it. I mean, when your nickname now becomes Slubon, that's not a good thing for somebody, especially a guy 5 years ago was considered one of the elite defenders in this league. You know, and now he's considered a number four, five, or six guy, depending on where he winds up playing. Because I don't think he's going to finish the season in New Jersey. I just have that strange feeling that he's going to wind up being a rented player somewhere else. But
yeah,
with that said, this is the fourth one. This one, you know, in my mind, is like it could have been an accident. It could have been on purpose. I don't know. But after the other three, it makes me lean toward I don't want to give him clemency on it. If the other three didn't happen, I'd say this is an accident. Move on, guys.
But yeah,
it ended a guy's season, and that's never a good thing. You know, the Rangers have said all the right things. You know, they've got people who are going to step up and take that spot, which is great for them. But I think the league is – he's now under the microscope from this league, and anything happens, if he gets the next one, he's looking at a big suspension.
Yeah, I mean, remember I think I was saying to you, Jim, when you were, like, questioning why didn't the Rangers – what about the Rangers' toughness? Why didn't they go after him? Blah, blah, blah. You want to know something? It puts a stamp on Gallant on this team. Let's win the game. No one was sure if it was purpose. No one could tell right away if it was if he purposely did it. And I even said after watching it the next day that it didn't look intentional. You know, it didn't look like he was intentionally doing it. Like you said, Mark, he has that going wide with his legs all the time going into the corner. But that didn't look intentional. But listen, it's a long season. And this isn't the only team that he's unfortunately has a bullseye on him, that if he does it again, I mean, look, how many times is there a clean hit and it winds up being a fight after? It was a clean hit.
Well, Jay, here's a fight. You bring up a good point, because if you remember last year in the playoffs when Tavares went down, and it wasn't done on purpose, but somebody had to pay for it. And that's always been the way it works in the NHL. So my suspicion is the next time Rangers-Devils play, and maybe the game's not on the line, somebody's going to pay for it. And if he's in the lineup, he's going to pay for it.
It doesn't get forgotten.
No, it's not going to get forgotten.
And it was a close game. It's like, listen, let's win the game.
Right.
Let's look at the tape ourselves as a team, but we're going to do it for Blias down the road you know, if anything, even if Subban's on a different team, it's still Subban. You know, I mean, hopefully, you know, whatever. But the Rangers are not a soft team because they did not go after him right away.
Well, I'm not saying that they're soft on that part, but I don't want to hear the narrative from last year about, hey, you know, got to step up, you know, got to defend our teammates. Well, you know what? If somebody just went in his face, I'd have no problem with it. Again, they know it was probably an accident, and they were saying it was the right things, because the more I look at it, you know, maybe hit a rut, they're just blades hit. If he had kicked his leg out and this happened, then. But it looked.
But Toronto knew that what happened to Tavares was an accident too. It was just two guys just coming high speed at each other, but they still made Gallagher pay.
Right. No, they made Perry pay.
I mean, you hate seeing fights when a guy gets his ass kicked for a good hockey play that's not dirty, and then they have a fight. Have the fight because a guy deserves.
Right.
After seeing whatever, then you better go after the guy. Then you better go after the guy to save the character of your team.
It's
not like you're saying the Rangers last year with Tom Wilson and what happened.
Nobody did anything.
Exactly.
That was the problem.
Do it for the right reason. If it's deserved, do it for the right reason. Like you said, Mark, there are games down the road. It's not forgotten. These things are never forgotten.
Jay and Mark, my point is just get in his face. It doesn't matter if you have to fight or something. Just defend your teammate and just get in his face and be like, look, we don't like what you're doing the next time. Just like give him – just let him know that the next time this is going to happen, you know, you better watch yourself in a corner because somebody's coming for you. Something like that. That's all I'm saying.
No. You're right. You're right. I was angry.
Absolutely.
I was angry too.
Was coming down the road.
I agree with that. That's all I'm saying, because the narrative last year is, oh, we hold this team wasn't tough enough.
Yeah.
You know, they got to play physical. They got to stand up for teammates, all that stuff. That's well and good, but this is a prime example. And again, it was an accident, and they probably all know it was an accident. But as somebody brought up to me yesterday in the locker room, Shesterkin's getting run left and right every night, and no one's doing anything about it.
Well, that's a concerted effort, because you can't beat this guy. He's just that good, and so – everybody's now decided that the only way to beat this guy is get traffic. And if you nick him here and there, what the heck? But then nicking him's turned into running him.
Right.
And that means
that's different.
The tough guys on the Rangers need to make the people running him pay for it. Or you got to run the opposing goaltender. You know, if you're going to touch my guy, I'm going to hit your guy. That ends it.
Yeah, it's like, look, it's like the same thing when Kako scored that goal and he got hit, but he didn't do it intentionally. It was a good play. You
and
know,
that's just a 50-50. That's a 50-50 bang-bang, as ref said after the game. He's like, I seen it go in favor of the goaltender, and I've seen it. They call it a good goal. And the reason ref said he didn't challenge it is because Kako was already past him with the puck, and he was probably going to beat him anyway.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, again. But it was a fun Devils Rangers game that I was glad to be there for. It was a fun atmosphere. It was a good game.
I'll throw one more thing into the mix. It's actually nice to see a Ranger Devils game that has a relative, you know, usefulness to it. You know, that it means something. It's not just two after effects, you know, playing each other. It was a
no, it's game not. It's meaning. Not. It's not. It's not. It's not a throwaway game anymore. It's a rivalry game that matters, and it's good to see that again, because you know the Battle of Hudson is one of those rivalries we like to see.
It's great to have it back in the metro area. It hasn't meant anything for at least Ranger fans for a couple of years, and you know, Devils on their way now. Everyone in it's holding up.
Good division.
But like you would say, like, did you see the game so far with Nico Hischier with Corey Perry?
No,
which it didn't look intentional, and their captain went down. No one went after Corey Perry. So, like, the Devils, too, got to think in the same way the Rangers. They just took out, you know, Corey Perry has a history. It didn't look intentional, but they didn't stick up to him either. They didn't do anything right after it either, you know, for your captain.
Corey Perry has a rap sheet. Anytime he's involved in something, you're always thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the reputation. Yeah, the reputation, and if it wasn't intentional, but the rep's always going to follow you, like you said. And, you know, good for the Metro teams, our Metro teams, you know, and this Metropolitan Division is fierce.
Killer.
It's ridiculous.
It's a real killer. I love it. So moving away from the game, the action on the ice, talk about off the ice this past week, Hockey Hall of Fame, induction ceremony. class of 2020 going in by itself. Jerome Iginla, Doug Wilson, Kevin Lowe, Kim St. Pierre, Kenny Holland as a builder, Marion Hossa, deserving class, very good, a lot of good players in there. Jerome Iginla leading the way. Big fan of Iginla, always been a fan of his.
Oh, yeah.
He did for the Flames.
Great player.
Around, tried to chase a cup towards the end, was influential in the Team Canada winning in 2010 and 2012. Just a good player internationally as well. Played, I believe he played 0-2 as well with Canada. Such a good player. Doug Wilson, a lot of people forget. I mean, yeah, granted, he's done general manager work and everything. But he was a good hockey player for the Blackhawks, for the Sharks. He was a really, really good player. Kevin Lowe as well. So a lot of deserving members going to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And just want to get your guys' thoughts on the people going in. And we'll talk about potentially people going in next year as well.
Well, it's a real, I won't say a great class, but it is a really, really good class and a class that has class. Obviously, Iginla, you can't say enough about that guy. The only thing that I feel bad is that he never won that cup. You know, he had that chance when Calgary went to game 7 and
Calgary, FYI, you talk to Calgary people, they won the game 6 in overtime.
I understand that completely, but unfortunately, the record books
say exactly something different.
I just feel like that. I mean, that's the only thing that doesn't go on his resume. Not his fault, without a doubt. But you know, he's one of those guys you just wish he got a cup. Like in Calgary's history, like Lanny McDonald got that cup on that last game, and then he retired. And
that was great.
It would have been storybook if Iginla could have done the same thing. But it's not always a Hollywood script. But the guy's definitely true first ballot Hall of Famer, no question. Doug Wilson, great Blackhawk. I remember that slap shot. He always had a great slap shot. He had that big throw going with no helmet. I remember a game in the Garden in the 80s, mid-80s. I went to the game. He took a clearing shot. It went over the glass, and it hit me right over here and knocked me right down on the ground. And some guy comes by and grabs the puck, and I didn't even get it. So that's my Doug Wilson story. But he was just a great player to watch. Too bad he never played on better Chicago teams, so we could have seen him deeper in the playoffs, but truly a great player. And then, of course, obviously, he was on those first 2 years in San Jose when that franchise was an expansion franchise trying to cut his teeth. Kevin Lowe, a lot of detractors out there I saw, and what I'm going to say to those detractors is,
you heard that dig you gave?
Kevin Lowe was a great shutdown defender on a team that played wide open offense. People say, well, look at his points. He doesn't have a lot of points. Dudes, where was that? Where are those points coming from? Like, you got Gretzky, you got Messier, Anderson, Curry, all those guys scoring points, Coffey. What did you think Kevin Lowe needed to do? Should they have won the games 10-2 instead of 7-2? No, he played defense. And in the playoffs, he came up big, and he's got 6 more Stanley Cups than you have.
Yeah, it's true. And he does.
Did you hear the shot he took towards Toronto?
No.
He goes, hey, the 7 of us won a cup for the Rangers. You think Toronto could use 7 of us? You heard that one at the ceremony speech?
I like that. Well, I think it was him. I think it was Kevin Lowe.
Yeah.
When he said, he's like, you know, people always asked him, he's like, oh, how does it feel not to be in the Hall of Fame? And he's like, well, you know, I always got 6 Stanley Cups to my name, so it's not a bad thing. And he's like, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I love it being in there right now. So I don't need to answer that question anymore because he's there. And, you know, like you said, everybody deserving to be there. Marion Hossa, you know, that one, because
he was a great player, though. His name was always mentioned.
I feel like he was a really, really good player.
Right, me too. I mean, he's got the Stanley Cups to his name, 1,000 points, all that stuff. You know, again, guys like Lowe and Hossa getting in, mainly Hossa, sets the stage for other guys similar to stature to get in. And that brings us to, like, next year's class, which, you know, is headlined by the Sedins, by Roberto Luongo, Caroline
Udoleski. He's a lock.
You know, I don't know if the Sedins are a lock to get in on the first ballot. That's the thing, because you have guys sitting out there like a Daniel Alfredson, like Alexander McGillney, like a Patrick Elias to me. Boris Mikhailov, how is that guy not in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Pierre Turgeon with his
Pierre stats. Turgeon.
Just because he didn't win.
Well, but
I have stats here to back
up. Turgeon is that he moved so much.
But you can't. Dominic Hasek moved a lot.
But he won.
But it's a team game. It's like the same thing with McGillna holding it against him if he didn't get in because he didn't win a cup.
But he did win a Stanley Cup.
I think Pierre's time, really, honestly, was when the Islanders made that run in 93 and he got Huntered, and that ended his cup run. I think that if he was healthy, they might have beat the Habs.
Do you know what his stats are? He's one of the guys that we're doing this segment about who should be in, who's not, who should be in, right, and who hasn't been in. Do you know he had a 1.026 point per game during his career?
That's good. In
1,294 games? How is he not a Hall of Famer as a player in the NHL? Forget his team. Forget not winning the cup. Forget playing in a lot of teams. Who wouldn't want him on your team? It's a team game to win the cup, just the way a goalie and the rest of your team in front of you, as another player will go into. But how could you keep a guy out that scored more than 1 point per game in his 20-year career?
Well, the baffling one to me is Alexander Mogilny.
I actually thought he was in. That's probably why he isn't in, because everyone thinks he is in.
Yeah.
That's the baffling one. I think Alexander Mogilny is the guy that needs to be in. I mean, just look what he did with Buffalo, Vancouver, the Devils. I mean, when he was traded to the Devils, revitalized his career playing with Scott Gomez. They win a Stanley Cup. They go back to a Stanley Cup final, multiple time All-Star. You know, what he went through to get to the National Hockey League alone.
He had to sneak away and defect to get here in the first place. He was the last of the defectors.
Yeah.
Right after he defected, that's when they cut that deal and they brought Fetisov and the other fella over who didn't pan out. What is Starikov,
and then you had Kasatonov and all those
that's
guys.
That's when they started cutting the deals with the Russian Federation or the Soviet Union. But he was the last guy who had to sneak away and put his family in jeopardy.
I mean, like I said, I think a guy like that deserves to get in. Like I said, with Hossa, that sets the table for a guy like Patrick Elias, 2 cups, 1,000 points. That, like, he's got his stats line up as well with a guy like Hossa. And Elias is a guy that probably is a Hall of Famer as well to me because of what he did with the Devils. I understand people are like, oh, he played in a defensive system. Yeah, but for 2 years, Arnott, Elias, and Socorro were the best line in the National Hockey League. And he put off offensive numbers and carried the Devils to playoff appearances as well. So, you know, to me, a guy like Elias should be in.
He should be. It's like Brodeur. You're going to hold Brodeur out because he played in front of a system.
Well, Brodeur was a lock.
But he got knocked a lot because people said, well, look at all those great Hall of Fame defensemen in front
exactly.
of him.
Exactly. So Elias deserves it, like you said, for the points and the stats that he did. Can't hold it against him for the system, like, you know, to hold out a guy because of,
I'm tired of system detractors. Because here's the two narratives you hear. Oh, this guy played in a defensive system, and so therefore you got to discount that. Or he played in an offensive system, that's why his points are inflated. It's like everyone has an excuse to knock somebody's accomplishments and knock them out. And it's ridiculous. Because, you know what? If you look at somebody like Elias's numbers, I say you multiply his points per game numbers by 1.25. And the reason I say that is because playing that defensive system and still getting the points that he got, they're probably worth 25% more than if he played in a system that was more wide open.
How much more work it took to get in the offensive zone.
Same thing, like if you look at Niedermeyer's numbers compared to Leach's. Leach played in a system that allowed him to do whatever the heck he wanted to do. And Niedermeyer had to play within the confines of a defensive system. So you have to upscale or reevaluate their points. Conversely, you downplay someone's points if they played, you know, in a system where they didn't play any defense or there was none.
Exactly.
As goalie,
because you watch the game with your eyes and you're not one of these people who just read through the stat sheets. Because if you look through the stat sheets in hockey, you miss the essence of most players.
I'm going to bring up, I found a good stat for a goalie that's not in, who should be in compared to other goalies that have gotten in. It's called the G. GSAA. It's called the goals saved above average stat.
Yo, analytics right here, Coach J.
All
right.
Oh, look at Coach J with the analytics.
Who remembers or heard or even do you remember hearing of a Thomas Vokoun?
Oh, Thomas Vokoun, yeah.
Okay. He is 15th overall ever in goals saved above average. Okay. 181. He's ranked 15th all time, which is better than Belfour, who made it in before him.
Yeah, but the thing with Belfour is what he did in Chicago, what he did with Dallas, Stanley Cup, like, and around the league, what he's done. Vokoun was more known as a backup than a starter. That's the problem with Thomas Vokoun. But you want to talk about that kind of stuff. You know, I was listening to debates with this around. And there's always one guy that gets brought up that should be in. But
Vernon?
No, he played for the Rangers, Mike Richter.
Oh, absolutely. He's why Beezer was traded.
He's still in the conversation for greatest U.S. goalie ever.
The greatest U.S. goalie? He's number one right now.
But that's what I'm saying. He's still in the conversation for greatest U.S. hockey goalie ever, and he's been out of the game for what? 18 years.
Look, he carried Team USA in 96 to the World Cup. Before that, he carried the Rangers to a Stanley Cup. And in 02, he was the reason why Team USA got a medal, silver medal.
And he has a signature moment, actually a dual signature moment, because it was a replay of the first one in the same year.
Yeah.
Stopping Bure on the breakaway.
And he was more of a reactionary goalie, which I'm sure they probably hold against him. But he was a great goalie.
He got better as he saved more puck.
He made saves that – I mean, the difference between him and Beezer was a great position goalie. He wasn't a reactionary goalie.
He was also smaller.
Yeah, he was. And, I mean, look, that's probably held against him too. But you know what? I think like a guy like Richter deserves at least, you know, be in a conversation.
Absolutely.
For Hockey Hall of Fame. You know, I think Alfredson will probably get in next year. I don't know if Luongo is a first ballot Hall of Famer because of just not having the Stanley Cup. I know he's got the gold medal and everything, but
we're staying a little too long.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's always held against, like me and Mark were talking about baseball players, how they do that too, that they stayed too long to gain a paycheck, but it's held against them. You know, teams wanted them, but it's held against them because their stats go down because they're getting older, but they stick around too long.
In Richter's case, you're always going to sit there and say, what if? Because he had at least two
or three
prime years available to him, and those head injuries just did him in. He could
Mike Keenan practice with the shot in the head. That really put that concussion issue with Richter deserves it.
Mike Keenan and his two magic hits that hurt the Rangers hits Richter in the head and puts and ends the career of Patty LaFontaine.
Yeah. But so that's always a fun debate with the Hockey Hall of Fame, you know, who gets in, who doesn't get in, what's the next class going to look like, the eligible guys that are not first ballots to get in, you know, so we'll see, you know, what happens when they announce it and, you know, in July and everything. So that's always a fun thing to watch. And, you know, before we get out of here, you know, I was coming up with this the other day because, you know, the rise of Jack Campbell with Toronto, and it's not just this season, it's you know, it's last year, and what he's done, worked his way through with L.A. and Bill Ranford and that system as well. You know, if Team USA goes, and it's a big if.
I don't know,
but you got to play the hypothetical game.
I got stats here. You asked me to do it.
Right, and I'm going to pose a question. Has Jack Campbell put himself in the conversation to people? The top three guys for Team USA behind Connor Hellebuck and John Gibson.
Absolutely. You said it right there. The top two are Gibson and Hellebuck.
That's my three right there.
The only other one that could maybe get it, Knight is in the future. Knight, not now, as a third. If you're going to not give it to Campbell, then as a third backup, maybe Quick deserves for his comeback, the way he's playing and to back up the two of them, because he's not going to play, but to be brought up in the conversation, maybe just Quick instead of Campbell, either one of them, should get, you know, definitely brought up in the conversation cable, no doubt. But
I mean, just look what he's doing. Just look what he's doing. He's taking over for Freddie, and now he's taking over for Mrazek. And this guy's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, and Toronto's going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to be able to.
They're pricing himself out like he did, like they did with Zach Hyman.
They couldn't pay Freddie or Zach Hyman, so both of those guys are gone.
Yeah, but he definitely has a 1.63 goals against average, a 944 save percentage. He deserves.
Him and Anderson are the two best goalies right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Campbell definitely deserves.
The two best goalies currently, their teams are winning big.
Yeah.
What a shock.
What a shock. You have a good goaltender, you'll be fine.
And that's the only reason why I brought it quick, to give him the respect.
Well, I mean, he's having a comeback with LA.
As the third option, there's no way it's good between Gibson and Hellebuck. You're not getting past either of them. It's just for the third.
And to me, I'm going to give Gibson the edge just what he's done this year.
I just think Hellebuck's the number one because he's Connor Hellebuck.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but both guys, 1A, 1B, it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, for what Campbell's doing with the Leafs, you know, I think he's got to be put in a conversation. He's played World Juniors, been on the international stage as well. I just like what he's done.
He looks great in net. He looks fast.
And he just looks so much more confident than he did. And talk about a guy that came on later in his career.
It also looks, too, like, to be quite frank, that Toronto's tightened up the defense a little bit.
Yeah, they have.
It's not as leaky as it's been in the past.
I think the guys like playing for him, too.
You might be right. You know, I don't think they played this kind of defensive for Freddie, to be honest.
No,
Freddie
was
getting shell shot. Freddie was getting shell shot for a good couple of years.
Which is why Freddie's loving it in Carolina right now.
Yeah, exactly.
That team, yeah.
Although with that said, today is a shootout against LA.
Yeah, but LA's got a good team, afternoon game. You know what? You expected that going in.
But there were 9 goals scored in that game after 2. I don't even know what happened in the third.
I think the Carolina – let me find out real quick. Hold on. I think the Carolina held right on, to be honest. Went on air. Carolina hung on 5-4.
There you go. So there were 9. So everyone tightened up the ship in the third period.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they were talking about pulling the goalie and putting and why they didn't put Quick in, but they have a game tomorrow night. So they knew that they didn't want to put him in and then have to play again tomorrow.
Exactly.
They had to bite the bullet today.
So, but you know, it
can I even say bite the bullet anymore? Is that politically incorrect?
Yeah, you could say it. Don't worry about it.
I just want to make sure.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Make it true.
But you know what? It's just a good fun debate, like it is with the Hall of Fame. Figure out who's going to be playing where. But you know what, Mark, take the floor. I wasn't planning to run down, but I see the jersey. Just hit it. Just give a shout out for tomorrow night's game before we get out of here.
Well, there you go. So tomorrow night, I'm trying to duck my head. There we go. So tomorrow night at the Staten Island Skating Pavilion, over in Staten Island, New York, we're going to be doing a fundraiser game, and that money is earmarked for a young lady in Staten Island who is just finished her treatments, her chemo. And of course, there's lots of aftercare and a lot of other expenses. And this money is going to go directly to the family. It doesn't go to a charity. It's not being, going to overhead. It goes right to the family. And the game itself will be between the EMS, FDNY EMS station number 8 and New York's Boldest, which is corrections officers and police officers combined. And it's going to be a great game. There's going to be lots of charity stuff that we're auctioning stuff off that came from a lot of our sponsors, a lot of good stuff like that. We've got a Rolex, which is being auctioned off. So for $100, get in, get yourself a Rolex, or take the $10,000, your choice. I'll be refereeing the game. So, one of the referees.
I'll be taking pictures from the 50-yard line up in the bleachers.
Coach Jay will be taking pictures, and then our good friend Dougie Sravo will be doing the play-by-play. And I promised him I'm going to jump off the ice for one period and join him for the play-by-play, and then be on ice for the post-game festivities. And our good buddy Ronald Harvin Jr. will be with white gloves presenting the cup.
Nice. That'll be a good time tomorrow night, boys.
And maybe some chuck-a-puck right here.
What?
I said maybe some chuck-a-puck.
Oh, who knows? You never know with these things.
I love Chuck-a-Puck.
I love Chuck-a-Puck, too. Who doesn't?
Exactly. So come on down. It'll also be broadcasted on Facebook Live on our Lexi Strong page. I'll actually put the link over here when I share this so people can jump in and take a look at it. But I've been told there's going to be some high-powered stars from both the NYPD and FDNY's A-teams might be joining us in that game. I mean, the rosters have been kept very close to the vest. I don't even know who's playing.
Be a fun game for sure.
Between captains captains Trabs and Ragusa. So who knows?
Yeah, you know the gamesmanship that's going to go on with those two guys. So
yeah, especially two guys sitting on the same bench at Friday at rent out every Friday night, and they're keeping their mouths shut about who's playing. And I'm like, oh boy, I said you better keep the fist of cuffs to the minimum, boys.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. Should be a good time tomorrow night. I got game 3 of our Brooklyn Graduate Cup tomorrow night, so that should be a good one as well.
Yep.
So, you know, a lot of hockey going on this week. And, you know, again, just thanks for everybody for tuning in tonight. A little different lately. You know, we're just trying to hit up some different teams and different topics as well. If you got any topics, let us know if you want us to cover, if we're missing anything. But, again, shout out to Anaheim Ducks for what they're doing this year, like what they're doing. And like we said, Metro's the toughest division in the NHL right now. And, you know, those are my thoughts on that.
A little bit of housekeeping before we go. Next week is Thanksgiving. So we wish everybody and their friends and family a happy Thanksgiving. Stay safe. Obviously, follow your protocols and all that good stuff so everyone stays healthy. We won't be on the air next week because of the holiday weekend, but we will still be thinking about you all. And send those questions and suggestions so when we come out of the gate the week afterward, we'll actually have some good topics that you want to hear about.
Exactly. Keep the questions coming. Maybe, you know, if we can maybe do it before Thanksgiving, maybe we'll try to sneak it in, maybe a Wednesday or something. Maybe we'll try to sneak it in for the week, but we'll see what's going on. But like you said, and also want to give a shout out to my girlfriend, her family, you guys as well next week. Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts after Thanksgiving. So
festival
shout out to that.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Exactly. I'll be a part of those festivities as well. So it'll be good. But like you said, Mark, we'll be off next week just because of the holiday. And enjoy the games when they come on after Thanksgiving because the NHL is off on Thanksgiving Day. But Friday is going to be jam-packed schedule. Enjoy the games tonight, folks. Islanders open up the new arena. Should be a good one. The Penguins and Maple Leafs hockey in Canada. So that'll be a good one. And Lexi Strong game tomorrow, Brooklyn Cup. You know, so again, thanks for everybody for tuning in. I'm Jim Berenger. This has been The Last Word on Hockey, Season 3, Episode 7. For Mark Weiss, Coach Jay, have a good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Take care.